Yeah, okay. So I thought I had all the bugs worked out, but apparently, you know, what's life without a bug or two? So we've got a cold opening instead of the typical standard John Fox patented intro. It is 5 p.m. Central Daylight Time, 6 p.m. in the East, 3 p.m. In the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. That means it's airtime, and I'm live. This is not pre-recorded. This broadcast is live from the Town Square Exhibit Hall of Netroots Nation 2018 in New Orleans, Louisiana. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. It's also Friday on the Front Porch, and I've been looking forward to this all week long. Of course, I look forward to Friday on the Front Porch every week. Generally speaking, a reminder, nothing's different just because I'm somewhere else. If you would like to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, then send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, unless you're already friended up with or contacted up, whatever, with Sparky, in which case, if you want to be a part of the conversation, well, by golly, just let him know. He sees you come in. He'll bring you in. He'll show you the breadcrumb trail all the way to New Orleans in this case, and we'll be cussing and discussing in very short order. And I'm looking forward to it. Again, thanks to everybody who made it possible for me to be down here. I cannot thank you enough. And I'm checking levels and so forth. I got better levels on the head-on.live stream than I do on the White Rose stream, but it's still pretty good levels either way. Seeing a little bit of buffering. Hopefully it won't interfere with us. But we'll get going on the front porch here fairly quickly, simply because I think they're going to throw me out after a couple of hours anyway, because they're closing the exhibit hall right now, and they give me funny looks. But I've sat here all day today doing a whole bunch of interviews. Like I said, they will go up as a podcast, and they will also run on the rerun stream if you want to hear them. I'll be doing more interviews tomorrow. A lot of fascinating people to talk to here. Talking to the big wigs, and so those are tough gets in the first place. But it's the people who do the work on the ground that matter to me. It's the people who are working in the grassroots that get the work done. And that's who I've been talking to and done some interviews with. And so, like I said, you can hear it on the rerun stream. Thanks go out to all of our subscribers, both Patreon and PayPal. And we'll catch up with all the thank yous when I get back behind the microphone in the studio. Obviously, based on the responses I got about the audio quality from here, I'll be doing some digging around and some retecking and see if we can't get something on the order of a level of quality such as we have here. So that takes care of a bunch of it. That takes care of most of the housekeeping. Again, jump into Friday on the Front Porch if you want. I'm looking forward to the conversation. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to do any audio playback. Probably won't need to, for that matter. But there will be more interviews tomorrow, and I'll do the same thing. I'll put them up on the stream. Thank you. Brother Deacon Asa telling me Friday on the Front Porch is loud and clear, hot on both platforms. What a relief that is. I'd like it a little better if I understood why I was seeing buffering. I got to give credit to the Radio Row staff here at Netroots Nation. They've done a fantastic job. They really have. My internet connection here is like 100 down and 80 up. And that's why I'm wondering why I'm seeing buffering here, but it's probably a computer thing. That's okay. By the way, I am making a unilateral decision. In honor of Friday on the Front Porch being in New Orleans, this evening it is not Friday on the Front Porch. This evening it is Friday on the Veranda. Else. It's Friday on the Veranda on the Horn. And bring y'all's mint juleps along when you come. You know what I mean? That being the case, let's run over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you, Larry. 5x5 Lima Charlie sounds good. Appreciate it. Hold on here. Sparky, are you there?
Yes, Bob, I'm here.
Hot diggity. Thank you. Thank you for all you've done to make this evening's Friday on the Front Porch work. I know you had to fool around getting a computer that was running a decent copy of Skype. This thing made the laptop I'm on, it forced me to upgrade to the hateful version of Skype, and I did it earlier today. And lo and behold, it came with a survey, Sparky. From Microsoft, of course. How do you like our wonderful new Skype? Any suggestions for what we might tell them?
It's Clarity, you got to mute.
How do you like our wonderful new Skype? Any suggestions?
That's what I like about the old Skype. I still have control.
Yeah, I was thinking of telling them it stinks on wheels, the new Skype.
I don't care. It's
a dog.
Yeah, and it's not that big a deal. All I had to do was unplug the machine in here, take it to the living room, unplug the machine in there that's hooked to the HDTV, and swap them out. It takes about 5 minutes.
Well, still, it was an effort that had to be made, and I appreciate it. So let's get an update from you, quick, Sparky. Can you give us a fire update, please?
Oh, sure, I can give you what I know. 1,000 houses have burned up, and it's not in danger getting into Redding anymore. It's heading the other direction. There's a little town up in Trinity County, Lewiston, that they might have to evacuate. But it's all forested and mountainous area up there.
Are they anywhere near getting it under control?
Well, I haven't checked the containment on it lately, but all I know is they opened my fairgrounds here in Red Bluff to an incident base, so there's firefighters that have come in here from all over the country to fight the fire. And even saw a write-up earlier in the LA Times about all Mexican fire crew came up here to fight the fire into a conservative county, like we're going to harass them. You should see the fence at the fairgrounds, there's signs covering the fairgrounds. Thank you, firefighters, all over the place. And then I read another article today about the fire tornado and what it did. I mean, it was an actual 143-mile-an-hour winds. So it tore up some stuff in this one little neighborhood. You there? Bob?
Oh, sorry. I had it muted. The noise in the... I had it muted while we were... I didn't want the... Didn't want the noise from what we're doing here to interfere with what you were saying.
Oh, okay.
That's a breathtaking degree of damage. Is what about loss of life, injuries?
I think it still stands at 7.
Damn. Oh, wait a minute. You are not doing this. They just turned out most of the lights in here. Never a dull moment. A apparently, hopefully they're not going to turn it all off. So we've got various and sundry disasters. That's the what are they calling it? The car fire in California?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And then back
it's
east.
It's the sixth largest fire California's ever had.
Have they said, do they know how it started?
Oh, yeah. Damaged vehicle. Vehicle malfunction, brake fire, something like that.
Well, at least it wasn't.
Something hot brakes or something.
At least it wasn't some kid deciding to shoot fireworks off into a bunch of dry tinder. But it could just as easily have been that.
Well, it happened on Highway 299 that runs into Redding, and there's a historic old town, an old mining town called, everybody refers to it as Old Shasta. I lived up there for several years after I got out of the Air Force, but most of it's burnt up. I think they lost the museum up there too, but they had. It's a state park.
Awful. And meanwhile, back east, flooding. I guess they're still. I haven't seen an update, but are they still waiting to find out if the dam's going to break in Lynchburg, Virginia?
I haven't heard about it.
Oh yeah. Lynchburg, Virginia can be under 17, if this dam breaks, Lynchburg, Virginia will be under 17 feet of water in 7 minutes.
Ooh, have they evacuated the town?
They're doing some evacuations. My only hope is that they don't evacuate Falwell University. And that
Liberty University?
Yes. And that they actually strap Jerry Falwell Jr. to the flagpole in front of the main building, so that he can pray away the floodwaters. That might work. I've been actively sending Jerry Falwell Jr. thoughts and prayers all day long, but damned little else.
Only reason I know it's raining back in West Virginia is I saw the. Footage from the Texans training camp at
the Greenbrier?
The Greenbrier, yeah.
Wait, when did the Saints bail out on us? Damn it!
A couple of years ago. The Patriots went there once, the Saints went there once, now the Texans have gone there twice. Last year and this year.
Huh. Well, yeah. If you're dealing with Jim Justice, sooner or later you're going to get screwed. We know that to be a fact.
Well, they must have had a good time last year because they came back.
But it has been absolutely pouring, Agnes tells me, and has been. And then over in the Blue Ridge, where Lynchburg is just a mess, because that's a reservoir dam holding back, I guess it's somebody's drinking water supply. But the dam is expected to fail, last I checked.
Is it an earthen dam?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh.
You know, just like the dams they build in Appalachia to hold back the toxic coal waste. Ain't it charming?
Well, we know what happened to Oroville Dam.
Yeah, no kidding. learning curves. What are you going to do?
I think they're still repairing that spillway over there. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I read something about that not too long back. Yeah, they're still working on it. And I saw something about, or heard something about, wanting to build... another dam to provide more water to the Almond and so forth area, and the California state officials were saying, hold on a minute, maybe not.
Well, there's been one dam they've been talking about for years called the Auburn Dam.
That might be the one. And they thought, sure, with a referendum that got passed a year or so ago, that they'd be a shoe-in to get it built. And the state's looking at them saying, no, we may not need, we may not want another dam. Because, you know, there's a lot of harm, there's actually a lot of harm that comes with building them.
Oh, yeah, we know that. They had to take the they're taking the diversion dam that was here for, oh, geez, almost 50 years. They're taking it totally out of the picture from the river. They used to divert water for to a canal, the Tamecaloosa Canal. It runs about 100 miles south. It's still there, but they went to pumps and stuff they've got down there now instead of damming up and making Lake Red Bluff, as it was called. The river just runs right through, and they just pump out of it. And the fish like it. It's supposedly easier on the fish to get up to their spawning grounds, but just above us here. Salmon.
Yeah. And those dams make it hard on that, too.
Yeah, and up in on the Columbia, they have to ship the fish in a truck around. There's three or four dams from this hatchery. Have a hatchery in Idaho, and they ship the little fingerlings all the way around the dams and then dump them back in the Columbia River so they'll go out to sea.
Well, let's take a minute. Let's see. We've got a good group forming up here. Let's check in with Steve down in Georgetown.
Is this Mr. Kincaid?
Is this Mr. Steve?
I do believe we ought to give room service a jangle and have them send up some etouffee.
Crawfish or shrimp?
How's it going, Bob?
Oh, I tell you what, I've been trying to hold back because, you know, serious issues to talk about. I've been way deep into some food porn, man.
Oh, I bet. Free Speech TV has been running promos for this event at Netroots Nations, and I've been looking for you, but I didn't see you.
Well, I haven't talked them into interviewing me yet, but I may yet.
Yeah.
I can see their video lights. They're up. They're the first table on Radio Row. I'm looking at them right this very instant.
Right now. Bob, what you may want to do is bring people up to speed as to what this event is and what is Netroots Nations, because I'm a little bit unclear of it myself, you know. And
well,
if you just want to talk about it later, that's fine.
No, that's a good idea. Let's go ahead. I just make certain assumptions, but that's a dangerous thing to do. Netroots Nation grew out of way back when Daily Kos first got started. A bunch of people said, hey, let's get together in person, you know, IRL, in real life. And so they did, and they called it Yearly Kos. And a couple of years later, they started, I think, in Chicago, then they did Austin, and the third one was Pittsburgh. And for the one in Pittsburgh, they rebranded it as Netroots Nation. So it's a bunch of liberal, progressive people, and they've got panels and teaching sessions. And they have plenary sessions and keynotes, and there's, you know, a couple of thousand people wandering around here. And it has grown by leaps and bounds. And so, and it's also, you know, it completely became it became its own thing, separate and apart from Daily Kos. And it's as close to a I hate to even compare it to CPAC, Steve, because CPAC is so goddamned evil. But this is as close as the liberal progressive wing of whatever we are has to something like a CPAC.
Were you a keynote speaker? I noticed that they had a lot of speakers. Were you one of them?
No. I'm just doing Radio Row, interviewing people. And
So it's a lot of like-minded people that get together and exchange ideals. And were you able to take any of that in the last couple of days?
I haven't been able to get to any of the panels because I've been sitting here talking to people. I gotcha. Now, earlier today, they had a keynote from, or they had a plenary session with, I think, Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren. Tomorrow.
Senator.
Nice.
Cory Booker was supposed to speak last night, but he was, but the weather screwed up his trip, and so he got here this morning. And, you know, he walked around. He was, you know, real approachable. I talked with him for a couple of minutes. Didn't get him on air. Shook his hand.
Did you get a selfie with him?
No. I did not. I take
everything happens so fast. I take terrible
selfies.
Hold the camera up above your head. That's the trick to a selfie.
I know, but I'm always looking out of the corner of my eye at the camera, and it makes me look real derpy.
Demented or something.
And the next thing you know, the Secret Service guys are over. Yeah, come along, Mr. Bob.
Well, it sounds like a good time. I may have to get, they do this yearly, correct?
Yeah, they about this time every year.
I may have to check it out.
Well, you don't know where it's going to be next.
Oh, okay. So it's not in New Orleans repeatedly.
No, I wish it was. Oh. We went to Netroots Nation in Vegas. We went to Netroots Nation in Minneapolis. It's been in Providence, Rhode Island, and Atlanta. It was in Atlanta, I think, last year or year before.
I missed the boat there, didn't I?
And
it was in San Jose.
I think it was in St. Louis. And I'm kind of proud. The Horn was actually the first outfit to stream any content from Netroots Nation. It's another one of those little footnotes that won't even be a footnote, but yeah.
Wow. It's true.
And that was when Netroots
was
at
impressive.
That was when Netroots was at Pittsburgh.
How long ago was that?
2007 maybe.
Ooh, we're talking right around the dial-up days then, or just right after that. How did you even get a connection?
It was not easy. We about had to stand on the roof and scream.
Or have Ebb up there with an antenna swirling around.
Mr. Douglas. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's fascinating. Thanks for the filling us all in on that.
And I wanted to get down here because I felt like this would be a pretty good temperature check, if you will, for where things stand. And as far as I can tell, people are very. Let's see if I saved it. I saw this smarmy, shitty kind of BBC. Article earlier today. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Netroots Nation, the battle for the soul of the Democratic Party. I'm sorry. This is BBC. Netroots Nation, the battle for the soul of the Democratic Party. Fall. And they keep trying to hustle this this contentious narrative of infighting in the Democratic Party. But it's not there.
It's not there.
As far as I've been able to tell, just walking around the exhibit hall and listening in, you know, to talking to people, you know, standing by the door of the gender-neutral restroom, that kind of thing. That last part's a joke. There's kind of a single-minded focus on if we can't remove Trump from office, by God, stop him from being able to do any more damage. And so there's a lot more November 2018 talk than there is impeachment talk.
Well, absolutely. So that gives you hope for an alleged blue wave then, huh?
You have a good night, Mark. All right. Yeah, it does. And that was Mark Thompson from SiriusXM just walked by.
Nice.
From Keep It Real. I did a sit down with him last night. It was.
I don't want to be a parade rainer or anything, but I was listening to Malcolm Nance today, and he was very cynical about the blue wave. And I was like, God, no, we have to make this happen. We have to. This is our last chance.
It's kind of like you're betting double or nothing on one roll of the dice.
Vote Take two like-minded friends.
And I have
take
heard
them with you.
I have heard that message. I've heard that message more these last couple of days than I have ever heard it before. Everybody is laser beamed onto that message. You must vote. There is no not voting. If you do not vote, this will, whatever the outcome is, if it is not what we want, it will be as much your fault as any Republicans. You got to damn well vote.
You can absolve yourself for writing in Mickey Mouse for being pissed off the last go around or whoever you wrote in.
Yeah, question IQ tests in a row. Don't do that.
No. or don't beat yourself up. This is a way for absolution, you know?
Yeah.
Absolve yourself.
Thanks again, Ryan.
Exactly.
Bob, bring somebody else in. You got a room full of folks.
Well, I was going to, just a little at a time. Well, let's check in with Clarity. Hey, Clarity.
Buenos Friday.
Bien the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, here's something that just came to me. It's Friday night on the front porch, and there's not a single tiki torch. Talking about QAnon, conspiracies coming out of a bong. And you opened me up.
That is shockingly close to sounding like an 80s hair ballad, Clarity. I think you got something you can work with there.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Okay, anybody, I know this is going to make me sound like you're, everybody's out of touch octogenarian uncle, but I've been kind of out of the loop. Is QAnon?
Trumpanzees
that have some kind of a cultish conspiracy theories about Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and Russia.
Is this just rebranded Pizzagate?
More or less.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
You know, it's cheaper and easier than infiltrating the press corps. Remember when they stuck that guy in during the Bush administration and he didn't even have press credentials? And they
Oh, you're talking about Jimmy Jeff Ganniguck of Talon News and Hot Military Studs for You?
Yeah, that, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's, you know, along those lines. But every time I see it, I think Quiznos. You know,
well, that's what I mean. I see that the Q and the Anon, and I'm one, is this like Queer Anonymous? I'm not trying to be derogatory. I'm just trying to figure out where the hell does that, because, you know, I'm a practitioner of the art of word knowing. Where does it come from? I mean, what does it refer to?
I'm trying to figure out if QAnon is another James O'Keefe 2.0 or if it's a movement like the Proud Boys, or if it's just a bot.
I mean,
out there, man.
Well, I mean, is it a hashtag? I mean,
they think Robert Kennedy Jr. faked his own death so he could come coach Trump into being the president.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
No, stop it! What? I mean,
as far as conspiracy theories go. I have to think that, you know, somebody in Vladivostok is drinking some really cheap vodka and going, hey, this looks like something fun to do. Let's start a conspiracy and see how far it'll go.
I'm just concerned it's going to be more dangerous, more like Jim Jones Kool-Aid.
Well, there's danger coming from every different direction. That's just it. It's a constant barrage of it's almost like we're being, overcome. You know, there's just so much information. You don't know where to poke or dodge or what to do. And so it keeps you off balance.
Yeah, this concerns me for the November elections. Definitely. All this crap. People can't discern it. You know, the average people that don't know what the hell's going on. They can't discern this stuff.
And that's what Malcolm Nance was alluding to today, that Russia's going to figure out a way to play on this and, you know, throw another one.
No, hold on. Are we not just assuming that they're behind it in the first place?
Yeah, they could be, because it's on like 4chan message board or something.
Yeah, 4chan's where it started. 4chan's where it started.
And Q is supposed to be the highest clearance level. And Malcolm Nance said, yeah, for the energy department, you assholes. You know,
okay, thanks for thanks to Scott in San Diego for sending me a primer. He describes QAnon as Pizzagate on bath salts. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my Jesus.
Oh, you should see some of the interviews they've had with these people.
Wait, well, they're on fire. Okay, so I'm just looking at the Vice article that Scott sent me. George Soros, the Illuminati, and Snow White are all controlling the world, according to a 4chaner who has spawned a legion of super sleuths. There ain't enough absinthe in the city of New Orleans to make this make sense.
Oh, my God.
Green fairy my ass. No. What? Yeah, there. It's like Pizzagate on bath salts. That's worth a cowbell. A galaxy-brained 4chan-bred conspiracy theory that's apparently convinced an alarming number of adults that all kinds of preposterous things are true.
Does anyone remember that book, The Stand, by Stephen King?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And who is the character that swore his, you know, allegiance to the Dark Lord or whatever it was? My life for you, right? That's what I'm imagining. All these people, my life for you, QAnon. It's scary, right?
Trump is not under investigation by Robert Mueller. Instead, Trump is merely playing the part of hapless conspiratorial criminal, covertly helping the special counsel pursue their true quarry, Barack Obama. Somebody had a leftover bottle of the brown acid from Woodstock. That's all that is.
Lock her up, quack. Lock her up, quack.
Quack. Oh my God. I'm hanging on to that. I'm gonna read that at greater depth at leisure.
At your own peril.
Jack, who is nearer to me now than he ever has been before up in Shreveport, says, it seems like I heard somewhere, maybe a movie, that Q was a top-level secret security clearance level. The communication is somewhere in 8chan of Reddit or 4, I think it's 4chan.
Q was the guy in James Bond that made all the cool stuff.
Yeah, the gadget, the stuff that exploded. Hey, guys.
It's a security level for the energy department.
Hello?
Is that okay?
Hey, Steve.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, is that you, Steve? Other Steve?
Yeah. That's not where the cue comes from.
Somebody's bringing in a lot of wind or something.
No, it's Steve. He's coming. Steve? He's out on the streets.
I'm in my office and I have the fan on.
Oh, okay. I thought you were in the subway or something.
No, the air condition's off in the building.
Hence, he's managed by the DOE.
Q is in Star Trek: The Next Generation. Was the omnipotent, all-knowing group of folks. I think that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go out.
There's three. I've heard.
I'll offer another theory, and this comes from biblical textual criticism. For instance, we know that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all come from a common source. And that was identified by German scholars over a century ago. We don't know what the book was, so they just call that common source from which those books come, Q, for the word Quella.
Kvella.
Yeah. And Q stands for the idea of a source. But, of course...
Somebody say that Q is the 17th letter in the alphabet, and it has some...
Oh, yeah, there's a number, sacred number, or 17 is prime number. And notice that Trump inadvertently or consciously put that 17 angry Democrats in his tweet. So
yeah,
some kind of message. The,
okay, okay, I understand that. These are just a bunch of fuckers playing records backwards now. This is what we do. This is what we do instead of ruining styluses on vinyl.
Right. This has. I mean, we're trying to assign rational reasons to some to people who are just knucking futs.
Yeah, guys, I think you're gonna have to tune into George Norrie to make any sense of this stuff.
And even then, who knows?
Yeah, let's don't say we didn't.
I think you got the wrong drug. I think it's opiates. I think it's, you know, it's a vestige of opiates that we haven't really been looking at carefully, the syndromes that go along with that.
I've taken opiates, and it's never made me wacky before. I was in pain, you know. I never thought anything crazy like that. That's just number nine.
Pain, it doesn't make you crazy. Just make
you basically lose your ability to reason if you're addicted to opiates, you know? And that's basically what these people are. They're just totally irrational, you know? Makes no sense at all.
I like that description, Rick.
Yeah, well, I've only had them for acute pain for short periods, but I'm saying the short time I was on them, I didn't want to go out and, you know, play my Led Zeppelin albums backwards or anything.
Well, it's probably because it was you were taking it for pain suppression, and it suppressed the pain. It didn't make you feel high, but these people who get addicted to opiates, they do it to get through the day, basically, not because they're necessarily in pain. Maybe it started out that way.
Yeah, there's nothing about a buzz anymore once you've reached the addiction stage.
Yeah.
I got my second injection in knee grease. I got one more to go.
Nice.
Monday.
Is it? Can you walk better now? I bet you can, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Yeah, it's called Hyalagan, I think, is it not?
No, Orthovisc.
Oh, okay. Because Hyalagan is a similar product that you inject in the knee so that it gets rid of the condylomatia, the bone-on-bone contacts. It kind of gives you, it's a knee grease.
Oh, that's right. There goes the lawyer throwing around medical terms. He's been
yeah, well, what can I say? It's
he's been crawling up the learning curve again.
It's the same thing. It's made from chicken combs.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm making up a bunch of phony stuff here, right? Because I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, chicken combs aren't nearly as tasty as honeycombs, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
A lot more chewy.
Yeah.
Oh, but speaking of which, yeah, serious food porn here. You know, I find it deeply offensive that there are McDonald's in New Orleans, but there are. But two blocks up and one block off Canal Street from where my hotel is a very well regarded breakfast and brunch place. And anybody who's seen it, well, people have seen this on my Facebook page. See, once I leave there for here, I'm in here pretty much for the day. So it's a one meal a day kind of thing. So I got to get a loading dose in early so that I don't have my, you know, blood sugar just go to nothing. And I had something called Grilled Fish St. Peter this morning. Holy jumping God.
What is that St. Peter shaft on the top of the fish?
Well, that ain't... put your filthy mind away, Sparky. It's a skewer of three grilled shrimp stuck into a great big fillet of like grilled redfish sitting on top of two big triangles of deep fried cheese grits and covered in Tasso cream sauce with sauteed spinach and tomatoes. It was simply fantastic.
So this is McDonald's fare, Bob?
Yeah, no. No.
No. Okay, I want to know about the crab claws.
What about the crab claws?
They look dinky.
Well, they're little crabs. I mean, what do you think? Alaskan king crabs or Dungeness's? No. No, these are little blue crabs, just like you get on the...
Well, I'm used to Dungeness crabs from the Pacific Ocean.
No, these are blue crabs. And so the claws are just perfect size to bread and flash deep fry, and then, you know, a little vinegar, a little cocktail sauce, a little tartar sauce, whatever. One bite, whoop, you know, and they're delicious.
Same crab Baltimore's famous for.
Yeah, just, yeah, the same. Know, yeah, exactly. The same kind of crabs, right. And so, yeah, that was a snack. That was a snack from the other night. That was a pound, is what those were. Oof. I made a pretty passing fair effort, Adam. I got 2/3 of that pound down. It was respectable.
Any crawfish, Bob?
Got here Wednesday. Went around the corner to Mother's. And had their combo plate, including crawfish etouffee.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Oh my God, it was wonderful. And then last night, went to a place called Coop's Joint down in the quarter on Decatur Street, and had their taste plate. It came with the best bowl of gumbo I have ever eaten in my life. Nice and fiery, with shrimp and mullet and crab claws and oysters in it. Top shelf.
God damn it, Bob. I'm going to the airport right now.
Do it. You know what? And here's the thing. This isn't like sitting down at Emeralds or Commander's Palace or Antoine's. You know, you mean the Antoine of New Orleans? I don't mean the Antoine's of Flatbush. I haven't eaten a meal that was more than $15 while I was here, and every one of it has been cuisine level cooking, and just. Breathtakingly good.
How about the beignets? You got those?
I saved a little bit of room after the rabbit jambalaya and the red beans and the rice and the etouffee and the gumbo at Coop's. Saved a little bit of room and was walking right past Café du Monde and got a cup of coffee and some beignets on the way back to the hotel. That's the other thing. I've walked everywhere. And yes. It is funky and humid and sticky and downright gooey. And it's awesome. I mean, when it's like that, you can't worry about appearances or any of the stuff that the vanities we concern ourselves with. You just kind of consign yourself to the fact that I by God, am going to sweat. We're not going to pretend and call it perspiring. It is sweat. And you're just going to deal with it. You get into that mindset, you can go anywhere. And God knows it's, you know, it's so flat. It's so flat here, you can drop a marble and it won't move.
Did you sweat on over to Pat O'Brien's?
Nah, not. I haven't yet. Not a lot of reason for me to go there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I thought you might want to get a hurricane, but it would upset your stomach, wouldn't it?
Probably would. But
one of those will knock you down, so if you do, be careful.
But come tomorrow, the Satchmo Festival opens here.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yes, it will. And then just like everywhere has great food, there's great music coming out the door of everywhere. So another one of my plans is to get over to Frenchman Street, where some of the great jazz and blues is. And kind of eschew the touristy kind of stuff.
I'm jealous, Bob. You're gonna have a blast.
Oh, come on down. Laissez le bon temps brûler, man.
How long are you there through, Bob? If you don't mind me asking.
I'm either gonna leave here Sunday morning or Monday morning. We'll be done Sunday morning. But I thought seriously about taking the hotel room for one more night and just giving myself one day of no responsibilities. And
might as well. You're there anyhow.
Well, I go to the World War II Museum, which is 6 blocks down the street from my hotel.
Do it. If they'll give you a good rate and you're already there, do it, man.
And the and like I said, the room is freaking awesome. I got upgraded. I got a suite, and I've got my own. I got my own private exit out to my own little garden pool.
Hey, Bob, on your last trip, you mentioned that you and Agnes took a trip over to the Garden District, right?
Yeah.
You didn't have a chance to do that this time?
No, I haven't. It's been, and that's what I was trying to explain before I came here. You know, this is like 12-hour days with just enough time to sneak out and get a bite of breakfast or a bite of dinner late. But even so, it's a 12-hour day in New Orleans, which means it's a 12-hour day in a place that I would rather be than just about any place else in the United States and most places on Earth.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I love this town. I think I came here first when I was like 10 years old and loved it then.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And have loved it every time I've been back since.
Only thing missing now is Big Daddy's. They went out of business in 2008.
Well, on my food porn list, there was a disappointment involved.
Yep.
Because Giacomo's is closed from like late July to August the 14th.
Don't figure.
And that's one of those go to it places.
So Bob, program note: when are you going to be back on air again? I'm thinking maybe Wednesday or Thursday. Does that sound right? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, hell, the rental car's got to be back on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
But I'd like to find a little, because the alternative is I'd like to find a couple of days to. I brought a bunch of stuff that I've written in the past. I actually printed it out on hard copy. And I'd like to sit down and edit it some and, you know, just not have my mind on anything else with the hopes of maybe turning it into a book. Because over the years, so many people have said, hey, Bob, you got to write a book. So I thought if I've got a couple of days, I can, you know, and, you know, we're not talking about Bob going to the Overlook Hotel or anything. You know.
Didn't Malloy write a book?
Yeah, I think so, Sparky. He's having a release party, I think. I remember him saying, talking about that in September, right? Bob, do you know about that?
I don't know the particulars.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I just had a note from Ron in Raleigh. Subject line, Billable Rick. Billable Rick must be the guy in the suit with the stethoscope around his neck in the Shiny Heine ad. Ooh, that's a cow. That's a cowbell.
I changed my photo on Skype there, so that's probably what he's talking about there. what I like is the ad for drug addiction, like one of these rehab centers where they have a guy who's dressed as a doctor, but the guy doesn't look old enough to even buy a beer. It always cracks me up when I see him on TV.
No, oh, I know which one you're talking about. Right, right. He looks like Doogie Howser.
Yeah, exactly. Dark hair, yeah.
Yeah, and he's real assertive. You got to get help now.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to a 16-year-old. That worked last time.
Exactly. Yeah, the same guy who got the 1982 gum out of you, right?
Yeah, exactly him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put out a query just for anybody listening to the program. How's the audio tonight? Because
Perfect. This is better than usual, actually, Bob.
This is a different setup.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're on Skype, so we hear Bob different than him.
Yeah.
It sounds real quiet where you are, Bob. Are you in the hall still?
Yeah, but the hall's empty. Okay. It's me and two security guards.
Okay.
Hey, I got a request for you, Bob. If you go to the World War II Museum, get a picture of the Higgins boat for me.
Okay, will do. Yeah, it takes up like four or five buildings. The guy who drove me over here was telling me that.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of it or videos of it online when they first opened it, I think.
Yeah, it took them like, what, 50 years after the war ended to open it finally or something like that? 60 years maybe? It's only been open like about, what, 5 or 10 years, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. This, actually, it's, I know it's been this millennium so far, you know, sometime after 9/11. Maybe 2005 or something like that. I don't know.
Wow, Libby just sent me a rundown of QAnon from New York Magazine. That is some seriously crazy shit. So apparently you can just post anything at 4chan and the weird ass little Trump pansies will eat it with both elbows in the bowl. Is that it?
I think so, Bob. I mean, you know, this whole group gives a new meaning to, you know, a sucker is born every minute, you know?
Yeah, without a doubt.
I would say it's more like a moron is born every minute.
Jesus. By the way, Scott in San Diego told me that for those on the Horn Facebook page, he posted the Vice piece about QAnon the other day there.
Yeah, I have that set to my DVR. It didn't record for whatever reason. I'll have to check that out.
What is equally disturbing is Trump's not doing anything to discredit him. It's almost like he's welcomed him into the crazy fold.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course not. No,
hop on the crazy train.
He thinks it inures to his benefit.
He can't win without him.
Jesus. The inmates are truly running the asylum.
Well, hey, let me check over. Hey, Erwin, I didn't hear your voice yet.
Yeah, I'm a little quiet here, so hope you're having fun in New Orleans. Last time I was there is 1988, I think, so it's been a long time ago. So, we're having we have a lot of music here in this little city, and there's going to be a Zydeco band here from New Orleans in about 2 weeks, and also a band from New Orleans that has has the drummer who was in the Neville Brothers. It has a keyboard player that was with James Brown and some other people. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing that. So I haven't listened to that kind of music for a long time. So I'm kind of been on a tear lately. I was an engineer, and I've tried to get work as an engineer, but they think I'm too old now. But I'm still working. I went through some calculations on greenhouse gas production from data, government data. What I come up with is from right now, the United States per capita, that's for the population, we put out 44,000 pounds of CO2 equivalent per year. If you look globally, it's 15,000. So we're several times higher than what it is globally. And so I've gone through a lot of things on the internet, and a recent thing that was released by the EPA is really suspect. It's the numbers look wrong, the units are wrong, and it's confusing. Looks like just an obfuscation. I can't pronounce it, but just to confuse everyone. And so I'm still looking into that and trying to pin down. As a reference, it's in a Department of Energy laboratory in Tennessee is where this report was made. And they use, on the report, they say it's carbon instead of carbon dioxide. But if you go to the graph that the EPA put out, they don't specify that. And they just used carbon, and carbon dioxide is a lot heavier. plus it's way lighter than what was predicted or what was they were saying in 2016. So that's what I've been working on the last few days, just trying to keep myself occupied here. So I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody or not, but so.
Well, but, by all means, keep us posted. That's carbon instead of carbon dioxide, really?
Yeah, it's carbon dioxide, of course, has the oxygen with it, so it's a lot heavier. It has two atoms of oxygen with it. There's another thing gas, it's hard to visualize gas because it depends on where you're at. But with that 44,000 pounds, if you're at sea level at 70 degrees, if that was a 30,000 gallon empty swimming pool, that would be 96 empty swimming pools full of carbon dioxide at sea level. If you went to, let's say, Denver, then it's 155 empty swimming pools. That's the volume of gas, the equivalent from each person in the United States each year from greenhouse gases emissions. So I don't know. It kind of blows my mind a little bit. But I've checked the numbers several times. I'm pretty sure they're right, according to data from government sources. So I just wanted to put out to make people visualize and figure out what's going on. A regular car, an average car now, passenger car, puts out about 10,000 pounds of CO2 a year, just one passenger car.
Well, I've got a question for you, friend, and maybe you can crunch this when you get a chance. And I'm by far a vegetarian, but how much gas are we putting in the air for every person that's a regular meat eater?
Well, I still have to crunch that. There's a lot of debate about that right now. Yep. There, the main thing about especially beef is the feedlots and the energy that goes into the grain that goes into the feedlots.
Yeah, the CAFOs.
Yeah. If you and the waste matter, if you go strictly by grazing, it can actually be pretty good. I mean, if you take out the feedlot system, do really efficient grazing, it can be pretty efficient. But unfortunately, most people don't do that. So, and most of the cattle are sent to feedlots. So the methane, they talk about cow farts. The methane is mostly coming out of the breath. It's not out of the rear end. But
I didn't know that.
Go ahead.
No, I said I did not know that.
Yeah, that's something I've learned for a while. I've been studying this pretty heavy for a few months actually. So I have a fellow I used to work with who is a range management person in he's in North Dakota, and he's about cattle. He said they get a bad rap. And I think they do, because mostly it's because of where the feedlot system, than anything. So
how about the drainage ponds? I mean, we have the technology to hook digesters up to them and convert that into natural gas, but nobody does it. So that's got to be adding to it as well. Is that correct? Or
that would be definitely adding to it. That's a lot of methane from those, and that's. You know, methane is, I think it's 25% higher greenhouse effect than carbon dioxide. So just a little bit goes a long ways. Another thing about farming is that the soil. Now, if you look, the amount of carbon that's stored in the soil per person on the earth is about 660,000 pounds per person. when you don't farm correctly, a lot of that goes into the atmosphere. So that's one big thing about farming is getting carbon back into the soil while you're farming. And recently there was a Union of Concerned Scientists. They set out a poll to farmers in the Midwest. Almost all of them want sustainable farming in the farm bill. But the Republican Party is way away from, they're not pursuing that at all. That would help a lot if they would go to sustaining farming methods.
Well, I think, Erwin, if I may jump in, I think these big companies, these big agri companies like Monsanto and DuPont and so forth, have a lot to say as to why, sustainable farming is not encouraged more in this country, you know?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, that's what I think too. It's mostly the large corporations, large factory farms, large feedlots. They pretty much control it. So as far as the United States. Agriculture is down the scale. Energy is about 12,000 pounds. Transportation is about 12,000 pounds per person. If I remember right, industry is about 10,000. And then there's something at one other, I can't remember, but farming was like 4,000 or agriculture is about 4,000 as far as what's contributing to greenhouse gases. So of course it all depends on how you put them together and everything. And it's really confusing because a lot of studies are different. They use different units and it's really maddening. It's confusing. So, but that's just what I wanted to bring out tonight. So thank you.
No, thank you. It was very enlightening.
That's exactly what Friday on the Front Veranda is designed to do.
Thank you. Yeah.
So let me go now to Steve in New York. Are you still with us, Steve?
He left.
He had to bail, Bob.
He had to get cat food for his cats before the store closed.
Well, damn, he sent a really interesting email earlier, and I wanted him to have a chance to take a run at it.
Do you want to read it, Bob?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you want to read that email?
Well, no, I'd rather let Steve do it for himself because he can fill in any blanks that his email, any details that might need to be fleshed out. So,
put it in the stack for next Friday.
Right.
So Bob, what's been the highlight so far of your trip besides everything?
That you really did kind of nail it there. I mean.
Yeah.
I had a great drive. Weird issues with weird issues with turning off the stupid the lane keep assistant notwithstanding. Right. It went pretty well.
And you said the thing would reverse when you elaborate on that.
It doesn't reverse. When this thing's engaged, if you try to change lanes without turning your blinker on, or if you're driving on a two-lane road with curves on it, it will yank the steering. The computer will yank the steering wheel back into the other lane. And
you said when you pull up to a stop sign and then go backwards.
Yeah, that's a requirement.
I don't understand that at all.
What's the point? The point is
how would they even have something like that?
The point is emissions. and reducing emissions, especially in major urban areas where, you know, remember those 10 pounds or whatever, how many pounds per year Irwin was talking about? Well, a lot of that happens just sitting idling at stoplights and stuff.
But why go backwards?
No, it doesn't go backwards.
I thought you said when you hit the gas pedal, it went reverse on you. I was like,
No. It's just you touch. Okay. When you sit with the brakes on, it shuts the engine down. Then when you touch the accelerator, the car starts up again.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow.
And what kind of car are you driving, Bob?
It's a Jeep.
It's a Jeep Compass.
Oh. Hmm. It must be like the current model year or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. It had 7,800 miles on it when I picked it up.
Oh, yeah. Sounds state of the art.
I'd never buy one.
My ass had been on the side of the road Googling things before. Why won't this thing change lanes? Damn it!
I'm one of those asshole males who doesn't ask directions. I just kept looking
figured
around.
It out yourself,
yeah, man. I finally found the button and went, oh, goodbye, you little bastard!
Zap! There you go.
Good for you, man.
Well, I mean, there was an icon up on the dash, in the message center. And I was like, if you'd get where the radar didn't want you to be, it would go from being green to yellow. And I'm like, stop it, Spock, stop it. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. And eventually I found it and it's like, it's drivable again. I mean, it handles pretty well, but the it's also really noisy, and it's like having a lawnmower engine under your hood. It's like driving a really big riding lawnmower. And if you have to really demand power from it, it sounds like it's just going to come straight through the hood. It sounds like the creature in Young Frankenstein. Arr! Only not quite as ballsy.
But if you had to go off-roading, you could. I mean,
it's got switchable four-wheel drive, but it is not made for off-road. It's not as Jeep sells it, it's not trail rated.
So you wouldn't go stump humping with it or anything.
No, nor and I wouldn't go flat tracking or mud buggy in either.
Does it have a? Do it come with a winch or anything like that?
No.
Or? No. Okay. Well, I don't know.
No. But that's the thing. They're selling the Jeep name. I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is about as much of a Jeep as I'm. The Pope at Rome. But what was surprising is how little room there was in it.
And what is it again? It's a Jeep?
Compass.
All right. We'll pull it up and post a picture of it on it for everybody. So, oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. It's not your traditional Jeep at all.
No.
Looks more like an SUV than it does
it
a Jeep.
It is an SUV. It's a compact SUV. Well, maybe not compact, but a small midsize SUV. I guess it competes with things like... Maybe the Mazda CX-5. Four-cylinder affairs.
Got it. Well, it's pretty.
It's fairly roomy. I was able to get my seat comfortable, and on a long drive, that's the most important thing is comfort.
I'm going to post a picture of it in Skype and in the chat room, so. Folks like myself can wrap their head around what the hell you're driving.
So more importantly, Bob, does Agnes like the vehicle?
Agnes has never been in it.
Oh, I thought you and Agnes went together to New Orleans.
That was the plan.
Oh, okay.
And then our daughter had her thyroid out. She deemed it wise and appropriate, and how do you push back against something like this? I can't. She said, if I'm needed, I want to be here.
Mothers know those things, Bob. That's something you can't question.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. It comes with the right. So I'm down here. She's
what's,
up there.
What's
she's
the old nursing thing kicks in.
Yeah, the nursing thing and the mama thing and the. So I'm sending a lot of pictures home, and missing.
That's cool.
And missing her ferociously, because things like this are ever so much more fun when she's here.
Yeah, of course. Well.
It's kind of like what Twain says at the end of the Diary of Adam and Eve. The last entry is Adam writing, "Wherever she was, there was Eden."
Mm. Yeah, there you go.
I'm getting all sappy now, but it's the truth. And then when I got the upgrade to the little suite, I told Agnes, I said, "See, this is the universe saying it wanted you here."
Mm. But the universe couldn't accomplish that feat, apparently.
Right. But it's
which proves there's no God.
Well, I think we pretty much settled that a good while back.
No, I know.
hey, Bob. I just wanted to jump in and I wanted to talk to Clarity for 1 second. So, Clarity, did you see that it's full-on Trump Pansy Palooza here this weekend in Portland area?
Yes, I did.
Unbelievable.
The Proud Boys, and they said
that's
today
that
the Portland police are going to let the people that have concealed weapons permits keep their weapons.
Yep.
So, I hope it doesn't turn out to be shootout OK Corral.
Yeah, exactly. And then Sunday, Franklin's coming up. Franklin's bringing his sorry ass.
Oh, yeah, the dog and pony show of hate.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun here in Portland this weekend. Should be interesting.
Yeah, but y'all got a bunch of Antifa and stuff there, so...
we're set up for a well organized anarchist community there, definitely. Organized anarchy, get it? Yes.
Yeah, no, I got that. That was well.
That's sort of a moron oxy.
Ah, thank you. Somebody brought the damn bell. Thank you, Clarity.
Is that Clarity's?
Yeah, that's my bell.
Give yourself a cowbell for having one on hand.
Oh, a cowbell for the cowbell.
There you go.
That's
more cowbells.
So cowbell for the cowbells, like cowbell squared, right?
Exactly.
If we're expressing it mathematically.
Hey, Bob, did you hear the NRA is having financial difficulties?
Oh, what? Did the ruble go down on the world market?
I don't know, but they're saying they might they probably have to shut down NRA TV.
Oh, damn. Is Dana Lush going to be out of work?
I guess there's an article in Rolling Stone that came out last couple of days.
Is that going to cause Dana Lush to become unemployed?
One can only hope.
She's on NRA TV, right?
Their guns.
Oh, that probably hurt them so much to do that.
Well, it's because, you know, the gun manufacturers would take a hit on that. It's
before they came out, they were against it. They were for it before they were against it, because Dana Lush said that printing 3D guns at home is just like knitting.
Oh, jeez.
Somebody sent her a return tweet and told her, hey, you may want to check again.
Yeah.
Can a nonprofit declare bankruptcy?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Just because it's a nonprofit doesn't mean it doesn't take in any money. There's all kinds of nonprofits that have big, fat endowment funds.
Oh, hell
big
yeah.
Investment funds, you know?
Yeah, they can get... Anything that takes money in can hemorrhage it too.
I just put the article in the Skype chat.
Couldn't happen to a nicer group.
Yes.
Well, yeah. you know the whole thing about the 3D guns, you know, there's no regulation of it. There's no serial numbers on the guns. You can't use them to track down crime. You can't, there's no forensics there. I mean, if it's just, you know, okay, whose is this? All you have is fingerprints and so forth on the gun, and maybe ballistics, but there's no serial number to, you know, to try to trace it. You know, if somebody steals your gun, you know, how are you going to report it stolen? You can report it stolen, but there's no serial number, you know?
But I'm concerned that the genie is already out of the bottle on this thing. I mean,
well,
I'm going to put it back now.
I mean, they're available one way or the other. Yeah. I mean, it's going to get around the same way that, you know, people are going to, you know, stream movies or whatever. By the way, hey, Clarity, have you got the cowbell handy?
Yeah.
Jason just wrote in regard to the Jeep Compass. He said, that's a latte liberal Jeep. Cowbell, please. very good. Very good.
With those guns, I had heard that they usually fall apart in maybe two or three shots. But with time, the polymers are supposed to get better, and so they'll probably be more dependable in it coming. And of course, being plastic, metal detectors are ineffective against them. So there's a lot of bad things about them. So.
But wouldn't you still need a metal firing pin, though?
I don't think so. I think you can. I think they said you can still use a plastic firing pin. I wondered that myself.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure, I guess, but that's what I recall.
They do require gunpowder, though, right? Don't they?
And ammo's metal.
Ammo.
How are they going to get around that?
Oh yeah, didn't think of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I suppose you could probably develop plastic ammo. Why not? Right.
That's next. Yeah.
Sure. Oh, they've already got it. That's what they call non-lethal ammo.
Okay. Right. Like beanbags, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, I guess this goes to show you that the next 19 people who hijack planes will be probably using plastic guns and not box cutters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they'll be taking off from an airport, some airport like here, probably.
That has not, that Trump has lowered security at, right?
Yeah, that's what I had heard, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to get rid of security in Portland, Maine, which is where some of the hijackers, you know, started their trip to Boston, you know? Crazy.
Hey, Bob, I'm hearing somebody with a bird in the background. Who's that?
Oh, that's me. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't apologize.
Yeah, yeah.
We missed Punky. It's the new Punky.
It's the new Punky. His name's Harry. So,
Harry. All right.
Harry.
He's a peach-faced lovebird. So.
Oh, okay.
Smaller than Punky, probably, but... and they're supposed to be less noisy, too, but... sometimes he goes, so...
Isn't that what Ivanka calls her dad?
There you go.
Thank you.
Lovebird. Yes, give yourself one and another.
Oh, God. Hi, Daddy.
Well, what a strange family. I thought my family was dysfunctional.
I thought the monsters were dysfunctional.
Or the bunkers.
Yeah, they're basically the new world. They're the new normal in Trump world, you know? The monsters and the Adams family and, you know, that kind of thing.
That's good church people.
Which reminds me, I bet a lot of these QAnon people, I bet the Venn diagram, there's a lot of overlap between, you know, these evangelicals and these QAnon people. I bet it's like 80% are common to both groups.
Yeah, and I would also say that that, huh? Rick, to add that in, the Bigfoot fetishes are probably part of the same group as well.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, did we go over that last week? Some evangelical has now said that Bigfoot is demonic.
Bigfoot's got a big schlong, I guess. That's what I saw posted on it.
Is
that what Rick?
20 minutes. We're an hour and 20 minutes into the program, and thanks, Chris. You just dragged the program into the gutter.
Once you go Bigfoot, you never go back.
Oh fuck! Oh,
oh god!
All right. Okay. We're done.
There's a porno movie that hasn't been made. Long Dong Sisquatch.
Ooh, cowbell.
I think the Republicans can all get on board and ride it all the way to 2018. The red wave.
I think we should ride them in for 2020.
There you go. Ride the wave.
Or as much as it fits.
There you go. Hey, I was looking at the numbers in the Tennessee races yesterday, and even though Bredesen won with like something like 95% of the Democratic vote, it looks like about twice as many Republicans voted for the Senate in the primary than did the Democrats. I didn't realize that, that there were so many Republicans in Tennessee as far as, you know, such a huge disparity.
Yeah, well, Senator Marsha.
Yeah, right.
Is that physical numbers, or are they going by percentages, Rick? Because they'll trip you up with those percentages. Because
What I like to look for in primaries is total votes on each side.
Right, I got you.
Democratic primary versus Republican primary. Now that's misleading, because if those are the only two raw numbers you have, that doesn't factor in, let's say, independents who couldn't vote in either primary.
Right.
So, right. You know, I know these days independents pretty much outnumber members of any other party.
Or I'll often hear 70 to 80% of the Republican Party is still behind Trump. Well, they only make up 30% of the total base. So, you know, if you do the math, they're not that big of a number out there.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you never know. You never know. I mean, Tennessee's a possible pickup. I mean, Marsha Blackburn's crazy enough, although they're kind of used to her, I think, in Tennessee. They're kind of used to her brand of crazy, you know?
She's in that. She's been in the House for, gosh, how long?
Yeah, a long time. Like, probably 8 terms.
Well, the one thing that I find interesting about Tennessee is Chattanooga and how, they underwent a full revamp of their internet technology. And I think they have citywide Wi-Fi, high-speed Wi-Fi, and all this and that. They've got an influx of, direct investment going on, new companies, new startups. And so I think the rest of the state's looking at that saying, why can't we be like that? You know, I think... They're starting. Are the zombies going to wake up? Who knows, right? But I think if you set a good example like that, like Chattanooga's has, Nashville, Memphis, they're all going to look at that and say, we want that too, right?
You'd like to think so, yeah. You would. Yeah. I mean, I just hope not too many zombies wake up at once, because it's awfully hard to, like, hit a lot of them through the head, simultaneously,
Well, would Nashville be a Democratic stronghold or not?
I think it is, actually. I think that's where Representative Steve Cohen's in of Nashville. Maybe it's most of Nashville. I'm not really sure. They probably packed. I'm sure they did a good job of packing the Democratic voters into that, into that district, so that so as to assure that only one Nashville area
that makes a lot of sense, Rick. Yeah, I know, Bob, probably a lot of people here have driven through Tennessee, but every 5 miles, there's a huge billboard that says, like, Jesus is watching you, or Jesus is going to, you know, Jesus saved your soul, and this and that, right? You've seen that, right? Those billboards?
Bob's mentioned them before, I know.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you can't miss them. I mean, they have all kind of crazy slogans, you know.
That's yeah, well, I
speaking of gerrymandering, I saw an interesting article the other day. I guess it was just yesterday. I read that a citizens group, like a nonpartisan, nonprofit citizens group, got together and got a proposition on the Michigan ballot for November to basically create a citizens commission to draw the lines for the legislature and for Congress, to basically take it out of the hands of the politicians. And, you know, they did it without having any money, basically. They didn't pay a single penny to collect any of the signatures. So these were like true volunteers out there, you know, getting the required number of voters to sign to get it on the ballot. And it even survived a Michigan Supreme Court challenge by a vote of 4-3. So that proposition did get on the ballot. So, I guess the gist of the article, I think it was in the Washington Post, the gist of it is that after the Supreme Court decided to punt on the gerrymandering cases involving Wisconsin and North Carolina, which were pretty damn blatant, and Maryland, I guess, citizens have decided to just take it into their own hands and not depend on either the legislatures or the courts to do that. And that's a very promising development. Now, it is not something that can be universally applied in all states, because only, what, maybe 20 states have ballot propositions that citizens can get on the ballot. So, you know, it's going to be of some use, but not universal use, because of the nature of our system, our federalist system. So, you know, my bet is that that's going to pass pretty overwhelmingly. Similar initiatives passed in California, and I think in Arizona, unless maybe the legislature did that one, I'm not sure. But we have citizens drawn legislative districts here in California. So, I mean, that's kind of a promising development anyway. So I thought I'd mention that.
Well, Rick and Duncan as well, I heard that there's a proposition to split California up into 4 different states, which would be great, because then you'd have 8 senators instead of 2, which is the way it should be. With that,
yeah, that's been,
that's been killed.
That's been killed by the California Supreme Court.
Yeah,
which actually is good, because that was sponsored by a Republican. The idea there, I think, was to make to basically create more seats for Republicans.
I think that have backfired on them, though, don't you?
I don't know.
Depends on how the lines were drawn.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, the problem is it requires the approval of, you know, 3/4 of the states to take effect. You know, 2/3 of each House of Congress, you know, that ain't going to happen, you know.
It's crazy that Rhode Island and California get the same allotment of senators. That's ridiculous, you know.
Well, no, I mean, within the framework of what they were trying to do in coming up with a bicameral legislature, it's not, though. Because in 1787, they were trying to come up with one body that would have a set of responsibilities that would be as close to pure democracy as they could get.
Right.
And that's the House.
The cooling
panel. And that's the House.
The cooling. So I understand that.
And the Senate was going to provide absolutely equal representation to every state. And all of this, you know, it goes back to that conversation we had about bugs and features. Part of the reason you had to have that is because of fucking slavery. Because the more populous northern states would control the House, whereas the southern states could pretty much keep equilibrium with the way the Senate was structured. You know, slavery is referred to as our original sin, and it is, but it's also the fly in the ointment. It's what Robert Penn Warren called the kitty in the ash heap. It's it's the one drop of fugu fish poison that'll pollute a billion gallons of water. And that's, you know, because every consideration they made for structuring government had to be made with an eye toward keeping the fucking slave owners happy. And you know, I mean, that's not my opinion. That's a goddamn fact. Oh, by the way, I'm gonna run off topic here for a minute because I keep seeing buffering over here, and I've gotten a couple of dirty looks. We may have to knock off. I'm wondering if they're getting ready to throttle the internet. But I wanted to tell you, I've interviewed a lot of fascinating people today. But I interviewed the head of Social Security Works PAC.
Awesome.
And Lawson, he's great.
No.
Lawson?
No, I interviewed a man named John Bauman.
Oh.
Does the name Bowser mean anything to you? To his people of a certain generation?
Sha-na-na?
Yeah. I interviewed Bowser from Sha-na-na today.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he's leading the struggle to, leading in the effort to keep people from keep Republicans from fucking Social Security.
Yeah, he was at Woodstock. Dude's cool.
Yeah. Na 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 na.
Oh, he even sang a few notes before me on the way out at the end of the interview. Ba 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 ba. Yeah, some of that.
Are you going to use these interviews for programs, Bob?
Yeah, they're all in the rerun stream right now.
Oh, cool.
Hey, Bob, don't tell Rick when he's going to be in Los Angeles singing.
Yeah, stay. He lives in California. Stay the fuck away from Sha-na-na, okay, Rick?
Well, actually, everybody better say a prayer for Jeff Lynn because I'm seeing Jeff Lynn ZLO at the LA Forum.
Oh, no.
Tomorrow night. Yeah, sorry.
Ah.
Damn. Yeah, well,
why is it Jeff Lynn's ELO? Where's everybody else's ELO?
Well,
is the rest of is the other ELO out there touring as Bev Bevan's no, ELO?
No, I don't think so. Maybe they're gone or whatever. I don't know, but I think he brought certain members from the band with him. Apparently, it's the first time in 35 years that he's toured.
Oh, you mean since they got caught mailing it in and playing recordings?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they were Milli Vanilli before Milli Vanilli was Milli Vanilli.
although certain sound effects from Roger Waters were, like, piped in for some of
the
songs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but apparently, the understanding or the way it was presented back then was that, you know, basically they were starting the record backstage and just standing out in the stars.
Oh, geez. I didn't know about that. Yeah, I know Milli Vanilli was known for that. But was ELO ever actually outed for that?
Yeah, they got busted.
Oh.
And that was pretty much the end of ELO.
Jeez. Well, it's one thing if your songs are hard to play live, but you can't be, you know, doing that kind of shit, you know? What you do is you do a different version of your songs, and like you do acoustic versions, or you do it with, you know, less synthesizer or whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you just have less instrumentation in it. You do it live and sounds good.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
With a basic band or add some horns or
right.
If it doesn't sound exactly like the original on the album, well, so be it.
Well, that's the ideal, to try to sound as much like the album as you can, but it's obviously not always possible, you know?
Off is inauthentic, and that's not what you go to a concert for.
Right, right, for a unique sound and experience, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so I have to.
It'll probably be. I imagine it'll be a great show.
Buy tickets for the English Beat, who are playing in Los Angeles.
Oh, that would have been fun too. Yeah, that would have been a tough call.
Yeah. I tried to get my son to interested in it, and he wasn't having it. So he'd rather sit at home and play his computer games than go out to a concert to see the English Beat.
I think I hear a little resentment there.
No, that's okay. That's his preference. It is what it is, you know. So
can I jump on that real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the article on this Fortnite thing? Does he play Fortnite, Rick? I guess parents are paying $35 an hour for tutors for their kids to learn how to play Fortnite. Did anyone see that?
Yeah, I saw that. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah, I guess it's mandatory, you know, for your kids to be great at Fortnite nowadays.
Huh.
Does it have some sort of overlap?
Well, only educating folks how to shoot people. I mean, it's a shooting. So it's you can look at it as training for joining the military service, right? That's the way I kind of look at those shooting games.
Yeah. Well, you know, my understanding is some of these drone operators are recruited by the CIA and by the other three-letter agencies from some of these gaming rooms because they're very skilled.
Yeah.
You know?
The Army provides, they have free websites online that you can go play on.
Right. Yeah. Right. I think, in fact, the Army was largely responsible for partnering with some private company to get the Call of Duty franchise started.
Oh.
That's what I've heard anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right, kids. You can commit war crimes in your living room.
Count Dicula's training video is waterboarding training video.
Oh, there you go. You know, next time he's in my town, I want to have him sign my waterboard, you know?
Yeah. If
I convince him to.
That was so fantastic. That show was incredible.
Back to the father-son music thing, I had a guy come up to me and thank me because he was a Green Day fan, and his son, of all things, was a country and western fan.
Okay, I've got to interrupt with a what the fuck is going on here? out in the hall where the presentations and shit go on, they're playing O Canada right now. Not that there's anything but wrong with O Canada, but maybe, I don't know, maybe because New Orleans, French Canadian, the Acadian culture, I got nothing. O Canada.
It's a shout out.
The good times roll all over.
Hey, John.
It's a shout out.
How y'all doing?
Alex Jones is going to be all over that. He's going to be all over that conspiracy.
Oh, I think you're right. Hey, John, I'm in your neck of the. I'm in your original neck of the woods, man, and I couldn't be happier.
I seen you posting a little picture of your food there.
A little food porn, yeah.
Are you enjoying the cuisine, Bob?
I am reveling in the cuisine, John.
If I was everybody, I'd have a big plate. I'd just get naked, just roll in it.
Whoo, that's all I... you know what? I told him last
night. It's just that good.
I told him last night, just bring me a bathtub of this gumbo and drown me in it. And, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?
That's right. I mean to tell you, you hit on my weakness right there, gumbo.
Well,
because there's a lot of places that say they make gumbo, but
I'm kind of a common sewer of gumbo, John. And I got to tell you, what I had last night is the best gumbo I've ever eaten in my life.
Where are you eating that?
My life. And it was down at a place.
Are you in the quarter, Bob?
I'm not in the quarter, but I am. What the actual fuck is going on, huh? I'm sorry.
No telling, buddy.
Is everybody seeing something screwy?
I'm seeing some kind of presentation.
Somebody's sharing their screen.
I don't I don't see it. They did. That's what I.
I see it. It's you, Clarity.
It is. All right, I'll sign out. I don't know what the hell it is. Here.
But it was a little place on Decatur Street called Coop's, John.
Yes, sir.
I'm actually in the CBD, a couple of blocks off of Canal Street, but I can be in the right. Quarter in a minute.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I know right where you're at. I know where you're at. As a matter of fact, I enlisted a big customs building there on Canal Street.
Yeah.
That's where I had my indoctrination physical right there, buddy.
No kidding.
Come on in. Yes, sir. That's where I joined the Navy. Well, I joined at Slidell, and of course, they send you over to New Orleans for the physical, and then you go over there and meet with a bunch of other fellows, and you get on this airplane, and that was the changing of my life right there. Yeah. I waved New Orleans goodbye on that airplane ride, the first airplane ride I ever had in my life. And I was on my way, baby. But I'm glad you're down there, Bob. It just tickled me to death to hear anybody, you know, has the opportunity to go down there and taste the flavor of New Orleans. And
I got me a little. I know it's decaf and everything, but I got me a little bag of French Market decaf. Got me a little cart and a half and half. And handiest damn thing in the world, Stanley. You know the company that makes the great big the thermos jugs you take on your construction work site and stuff. Well, they now make a 16-ounce French press coffee pot out of that same stuff, that green enameled metal and everything, vacuum, you know.
Push you a cup of coffee out real quick.
Yes, I do. Every morning, I make me a cup of French press decaf coffee, French Market coffee with chicory, and I could not be happier.
I'm almost ashamed to admit this, Bob. I spent my life drinking French Market coffee and chicory. It probably when I was about 48 or 49, I guess. It was the chicory, I guess. I had to stop, man. My stomach was getting ripped up. I drink Colombian coffee now. I mean, I can go over there and have some every once in a while, but if I stay on it, now it's going to rip my gut up again. I can't drink that much chicory anymore, but that's what I was raised on. That's all we ever had. Hey,
God,
Bob,
it
let
is,
me ask you a question.
It is
let me
so
ask
good.
You a question, Bob. Have you learned not to breathe in when you bite a beignet?
You know, only after I almost died, you know, snorting. It only takes. You only got to doing that once.
You do it once.
Yeah, all of a sudden, it was Atlanta in the 1980s, and I was in the. Oh, what was it? It was on Piedmont Road. Big old disco, and I had a whole bunch of white under my nose.
I was going to say, you got an Al Pacino problem? You got an Al Pacino problem, Bob?
Yeah.
Say hello to my little friend. Say hello to my little beignet.
Oh, man. Yes, sir. Those things are dangerous. They'll kill you.
Oh, but God, they're
breathe
so good.
Them things
they
in
are
the wrong
so
way.
Good.
Mm-mm-mm. And I'm glad you're down there.
And with that cup of coffee, I tell you what, I mean, I'm not kidding. This is on the. I'd say New Orleans is my favorite American city, period. End of discussion.
You know, at that Cafe Dumont, it's an old saying, and I, like I said, I was raised around that area. A night in New Orleans either begins or ends at the Cafe Dumont. Either you need to drink the coffee before you go out and stay awake, or you need some coffee on your way home. One of the two, it starts right there. So,
and it was perfect. I had just enough room left last night after that big old meal at Coop's to be able to stop at Cafe Dumont and get what I needed. It was the perfect ending. And by the way, that taste plate at Coop's, it had a fried chicken wing on top of it. It was the single best piece of fried chicken I think I've ever eaten.
There you go.
I mean, I don't mean to make too much of the food porn, but the thing is, even the ordinary places here are, you know, New Orleans ordinary is anywhere else is exquisite. And New Orleans,
well, you know,
and New Orleans
telling,
exquisite
I was
is.
I telling a friend of mine today, Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, New Orleans Exquisite is you can't get that anywhere else.
No, no. I grew up there. I mean, when I was a young teenager, and I'm talking, you know, probably about 13, 14 years old, going to the French Quarter on Mardi Gras Day for a young teenager and seeing what you're going to see down there and what you used to back in the early, you know, late 60s, most of them women was naked, Bob. Just about all of them barely was wearing anything. And when you're just wandering around down there, it's just...
And you know why? Because God is good, John. God is good.
That's right. It was this teenager, I'll tell you that.
That's that old Jerry Clower routine. Ain't God good?
Ain't he good? Now shoot up here amongst us. One of us needs some relief. I'm telling you.
There we go. You speak the language.
Yep. Yes, sir. I tell one of his jokes quite often, that one about Thibodeau owned the bar out in the sticks. Old boy come in one day and he said, "Hey, Thibodeau, how many doors you got in this place?" He said, "How many doors I got in this place?" He said, "Yeah, how many doors you got?" He said, "Well, I got two doors, the front door and the behind door." He said, "I bet you got four doors in here." He said, you're full of it. He says, "Well, I laid his money on the bar there," and he says, "Show me four doors." He said, "You see that door over there?" He said, "Yes, sir, that's the front door." He said, "You see that door over there?" He said, "Yes, sir, that's the behind door." He said, "Your name's Thibodeau, ain't it?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's three door." He said, "You see that cusp of door down there? That's four door. Give me my money." Well, that pissed old Thibodeau off. He just waiting for the next guy to come in. Boudreaux come in. "Hey, Boudreaux, how many door I got in this place?" "You got two." "No, you got four." "Well, show me four. Lay down your money." And he goes, "Okay, what's that door over there?" He said, "That the front door." He said, "What that door over there?" He said, "The behind door." He said, "What's my name?" He said, "That Thibodeau." He said, "That three door." He said, "You know, he said, "You know that damn spittoon done cost me $40 today?" "That damn spittoon done cost me money." That's a Cajun, baby.
Oh God! I used to love when I was a boy. I used to love watching Justin Wilson, the Cajun chef.
Justin Wilson. Yeah.
And the story about the drunk coming home, coming home at night, and he got lost in the fog. And he fell into an open grave. And I can't do the accent worth a damn. But he's laying there in that open grave saying, "Help me, I'm cold. Help me, I'm cold." A little while later, his drunk buddy comes along, comes walking over, look down in the grave, and he said, "Help me, I'm cold." He said, "Of course you're cold. You don't kick all the dirt off of you."
Cover you back up. Yes, sir.
Hey, going back to the coffee, have you ever tried Blue Mountain coffee or Kona?
Oh, Jamaican Blue Mountain. Yeah, I've had that, and I've had Kona. Now, I mean, you know, even hillbillies can get fancy ass coffee from all over the world. I can buy a little bag of
access.
Well, no, Kroger's. I can go to Kroger's and buy a half pound bag of Jamaican Blue Mountain coffee beans for $22. I did that once.
Yeah.
I took it home to my beloved, and she said it's good, but it ain't $22 good.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, now go back and get the cheap shit. Yeah.
But Ethiopian, Kroger's got Ethiopian and Kona and Guatemalan and Colombian.
One of my fans sent me some Jamaican Me Crazy. And I can't remember the coffee.
That sounds right tasty.
Yeah, it was. It was rather good. It's not for every morning. It damn sure kicked you in the teeth. Pretty strong stuff. So, but I enjoyed it. I've gotten several different coffees from some of my fans. They send it to me. My fans have sent me a lot of weird stuff, buddy.
I'll tell you what, you've got a great community there, John. You really, really do. And honest, Pete, I don't know where they're going to do Netroots next year, but you ought to be thinking about going and just doing your stand up rant from Radio Row. It would be They would get a kick out of it. And there's all kinds of people wandering around wanting to tell their stories.
We went over 7,000 on our YouTube channel today. We got a bump of about 3,000 in the last 3 or 4 days. So I don't know where that bump came, but we're just tickled to have it.
Oh, that's mighty nice, yeah.
Sounds like woke Texans.
Yeah.
Speaking of bumps,
we got...
I was going to say, John, it looks like Beto O'Rourke is only about 6 points down in the polls.
Oh, you done said his name. Oh, watch it. Here comes the preaching. I love this guy. I love that man. I'm telling you what, I preach him everywhere I go. I'm sure if you watch this man, he's going to get in the Senate because he's going to kick Ted Cruz's butt out. He's going to be in the Senate in the next move. That's presidential material right there.
Well, he is right now within single digits, and he is within like 4 points of the margin of error. That's getting pretty damn close to time for Ted Cruz to shit his britches.
Hey, can I interrupt
for a minute? He is doing it all on his own. Yes, sir.
Rick, you're sharing a file with us. It's showing up on my screen. It's a tax file.
Oh, geez. Let's see here.
Uh-oh.
Let's see.
Does it say Donnie's tax forms on it? Download it quick.
Yeah, right. It must be this old, must be this new thing here. Let's see. I'm trying to, wait, is this it here? Wait. Screen sharing option, stop sharing.
Did that do it? Yeah. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah. It's not nothing earth shattering. It's just a.
I thought it was clarity, but it was you.
No, it's just a FOIA request. Trying to get information from the government under FOIA, so.
Don't be Manafort's bunkmate now, Rick, please.
Oh, God, no way. Are you kidding me? Oh, geez, that guy. He's going down. I think, he doesn't really have a defense. It's sort of like...
He doesn't care.
He's going for promotion.
He's relying on that pardon.
Down that 100%.
Part. Oh, down yeah. about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because he's... Because in,
and
in
what's going to happen when Donnie gives it to him?
Yeah, I mean, well... you never know. If he has damaging stuff on Donnie, he will get pardoned, if he keeps silent, Yep. And anytime Donald says somebody's been treated unfairly, then that's a basis for pardoning them in his mind,
Yeah. And he's laying that groundwork now. He had that, what I call the Russian acceptance rally last night in Pennsylvania. Trying to convince everybody, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. We need to be buddy-buddy with Russia. It's all okay. Don't mind. Don't worry. All that kind of shit. And
that's
what he's out there preaching. That's, his number one issue is try to convince everybody that being buddy-buddy with Russia is a good thing. It's the best thing we can do. Never mind that they attacked our election system and helped elect a con man. Forget all that. Let's just be buddies.
Yeah, I mean, forget about the idea that they're into our electric grid and stuff, they would never cause a power outage.
Nah,
they're too nice.
No. They're nice people, and that's what they sell. And I swear, down in his area, he probably tries to commit, look at there, they're white, too. Look at there, did you notice that? That kind of shit, that's the scumbags that still follow him. And that's what, the Republican Party has just melted down and sauteed itself into nothing but a mesh of white supremacists and neo-Nazis and extremists and right-wing nut jobs. And that's who's got hold of the party. And that's what they're happy with. They're comfortable with it right now. I hate to see that happen.
Yeah. Well, it's
I've heard in his office, when he first became president, he had also Alaska. He had Alaska in red, part of it as well.
Well, yeah, that'll be the deal. We'll give up Alaska if we'll just make money. No, shit. I don't know. At what point do you think some of these people following him are going to see the light come on, hear the bell ring, whatever it is, see the flag that's been waving in front of their face some at some point, you know. But it went like, as in last night's rally, when he's sitting there calling the disgusting enemy of the free, the press back there and all this other, there's people sitting back behind him with kids, and they're cheering that shit on.
Yeah, what a good example for parents, huh?
Ain't it? Isn't it? It's just sad. At some point, you know, you got to look at yourself and go, wow, everybody's looking at me like I'm an idiot, and they are, you know?
Well, exactly. I think the Trumpsters or the Trumpansies will figure out that they've screwed up once they're already in the concentration camp and it's too late for them. Yeah. You know, that's when they'll realize it. Yeah. You know,
Hogan's heroes all over again.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the only part that worries me is this continuation when you was talking about Alex Jones. People like Alex Jones and his ilk, when they get to pushing this, well, it started with the Second Civil War. You know, there's going to be a Second Civil War. We all got to get ready for it and get your gun and all this crap. That didn't pan out for them. So then they started working on the 4th of July. That's when the leftist mob is going to storm the White House and drag Trump out and behead him out on the lawn with all his whole family if we don't stop him. And that's the kind of shit that they keep trying to preach, trying to hope, I guess, that somebody's going to come to his defense when Mueller slaps cuffs on him or something. I don't know.
And now I guess they come up with this QAnon thing as the latest, which seems to be getting
there's always a shiny object hanging in front of the Trumpansies to keep them from having to live in reality world.
Mm-hmm. So I saw an article today or on the news that the guy that organized the Charlottesville rally was trying to get another permit to have a rally this August 12th. I guess is the anniversary of it. But Charlottesville said no freaking way you're going to get.
Yeah, Charlottesville turned him down, but I think he's trying to rally now in D.C.
Yeah, at the.
Oh, wonderful!
What's the name of that park across from the White House?
Lafayette Park. Yeah.
Yeah, Lafayette Park. But every night there at Lafayette Park has been the anti-Trump rally going on.
Oh, oops! It's busy.
Are we going to have another run on tiki torches again?
Oh God!
Yeah.
So we may have a riot in front of the White House on August 12th.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll be Antifada against the KKK, huh?
Well, that's what it was the last time.
Yeah.
Well, Trumpansy Palooza here in Portland this weekend. I.
Yeah. Report. Report back next week, would you?
I will, absolutely.
Shoot me a note or something, and then quick as I can get back on air, we'll go, and we'll talk about it. As it is, I gotta go now because they're going to come and take me away otherwise. I want to thank all of y'all for...
I am so sorry I showed up late.
John, I'm just glad you showed up.
We're going to just keep talking. Just Bob has to leave.
Yeah, I'm going to... I'm so glad you... I'm so glad you showed up, John. It's always glad to have somebody from the hometown to make sure I'm not screwing up or mispronouncing anything or anything like that. I got one more day of interviews.
You're in good shape, Bob.
I got one more day of interviews tomorrow. I'll put them up in Dropbox. Agnes will put them on the rerun stream, and then when I get to a stopping place, I'll sit and stitch them all into one great big audio file, and it'll go up it'll go up as a podcast. So that's the plan. Again, thanks all of y'all. Thanks everybody who jumped into Friday on the front veranda this evening. Being how it's New Orleans, it's the front porch. That's Hillbilly. It's the front veranda this evening. It's been a lot of fun. And thanks to all of you who keep the horn on the air. Thank you each and every one of you who are subscribers over at Patreon or over at PayPal. Thanks to those of you who contribute through the month to keep it all happening, keep the sticks holding up the spinning plates. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this little long-running conversation. Thank you to each and every one of our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you kindly, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks always go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, y'all. And there'll be more coming from Netroots Nation 2018 here in New Orleans, Louisiana. And as they say, laissez le bon temps rouler. Later, y'all.